All my Seattle musician friends from the grunge era tell me they are more popular in South America now than in any market in the world, and to touch new generations of fans. But Kurt's legendary status in rock seems to continue to grow, even among fans who discovered the band decades ago. Some of that is his singular musical achievement, but this is also due to there not being many, or any sense, who, in my mind, combine a similar level of artistry and charisma. In short, they just don't make them like Kurt Cobain anymore. I think I perhaps naively felt that another band fronted by a future rock legend would come along, just as Nirvana had, and rewrite the rules of rock and roll, and maybe kick out something as memorable as Smells Like Teen Spirit. But within the genre of rock and roll in my record collection, that hasn't happened. Nearly 3 decades after it was first released, Teen Spirit still sits at the top of my car playlist, my current and forever go-to track whenever I need to kick out the jams. The absence of new rock icons is also a result of massive shifts in technology and how music is created and distributed. The old-school music farm system, to steal a baseball metaphor, of starting with an indie label and then moving to the majors has disappeared. Macklemore, the biggest-selling Seattle musician of the most recent decade, put his hit album out on his own indie and made most of the profit a label would have taken. In Kurt's era, bands released singles and EPs, toured in vans to tiny crowds that only heard about their shows because of flyers stapled to telephone poles, and hoped that maybe they would find stardom eventually if they got signed to a major label. Kurt had several years of this kind of apprenticeship as he honed his craft. Nirvana burned through drummers, had countless gigs with tiny audiences, and sometimes didn't make enough money from a show to afford the gas to get to the next city. When Kurt wasn't touring, he was recording on cassette and putting postage stamps on demo tapes he sent in the mail to record labels, all of which were rejected. Kurt suffered years of bitter struggle, but in the end, these trials were essential to his artistry. If Kurt had come of age 20 years later, and a video of Nirvana's disastrous first ever gig, where Kurt said he didn't know the words to one of Led Zeppelin's most famous songs, had been uploaded for internet viewers to mock or judge, I suspect Kurt's career would have been over before it began. Also, consider the downside of something as celebrated as streaming audio services, which allow immediate access to a vast majority of rock music that's ever been recorded. Kurt's artistic influences, in sharp contrast, were extremely limited, and also happenstance. He was exposed to music from 3 primary sources. What he heard on the radio, and Seattle hard rock station KISW came in strongest, what he heard and saw on MTV, and records he either purchased or was given by friends. His record collection only consisted of about 200 discs by 1991, and it was shaped by the randomness of what albums were cheap at whatever thrift store or garage sale he walked by. He made a mixtape for a friend in the early Nirvana days that contained the hardcore group Red Cross and pop rock from the Bay City Rollers, The Knack, and The Beatles. No Spotify playlist could possibly come up with that algorithm. It just doesn't make sense. But then, in some ways, it makes perfect sense if you listen to the music of Nirvana. Not having Spotify, also, in a counterintuitive way, likely helped Kurt to focus on the ideas he would steal or morph into his own style. Kurt loved the Beatles, and he had grown up exposed to their songs by his relatives at an early age. But when he started buying his own albums, he couldn't possibly afford more than a handful of Beatles albums. His record collection included just 4. Meet the Beatles, A Hard Day's Night, Beatles 65, and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That was equal to the number of Disney Children's novelty records he owned. And there was other way weirder stuff in his collection, too, including an album of spoken gospel sermons by Reverend Brother Grant titled How to Receive the Desires of Your Heart, and an album by Fred Bear and sportcaster Kurt Gowdy. And you can just imagine Kurt's delight in pulling this gem out to play for his friends, titled America's Number One Bow Hunter Tells His Secrets of Hunting. Instead of being exposed to a giant